broadcasting live from the KHMB studios in downtown Half Moon Bay. This is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast, the Coastside's own live call-in talk radio show. From Pescadero to Pacifica and beyond, this is the place for Coastside issues, hot topics, and you. And now, the host of Coastal Windage, Mr. Ruben Truthmaker.
All right, good morning, Coastsiders. It's Friday, December 22nd, 2023, for a bit longer. Time for some Coastal Windage. Let's jump right into it because we've got two guests in the studio today. Can't wait to talk to them. But before that, as the man said, I am Ruben Truthmaker. This is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast, the Coastside's very own live call-in talk radio show. Now, sitting in with me today are my co-hosts and interview guests for this episode, restaurateur David Westendorf. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Ruben.
And who is owner of Pelagic Restaurant Group, Jetty Wave Distillery, and the new Ketch Harbor Pub. And with him, special guest, Chef Eduardo Coronel, the head chef at the Ketch Harbor Pub. Good morning, Chef Eduardo.
Good morning.
Thank you for taking time, both of you. Thank you for taking time out. I've heard the restaurant business is like a couple hours a day, and then the rest of the day is golfing and leisure, right?
You have plenty of time. You can almost phone it in these days. It's that yeah. Easy. Just add water.
Exactly. Okay. If the patron requests it, though, right? Otherwise.
Illegally, yeah. Thank you for making that distinction.
Okay. Fellas, please disregard the remnants of glazed donut in my beard. I knew I had to load up on some treats before talking to you two. Otherwise, listeners would be hearing my stomach growl the entire episode.
We thought it was our job to bring you some food to keep the donuts off of your beard.
Oh, yes. Okay, excellent. Well, we can do both, actually. All right. Coastal Windage. Wow. Okay, this could be a Google robocall. We often get those.
Mm-hmm.
Who? Google, is that you? No. Who? This is Ruben Truthmaker with Chef Eduardo Coronel and David Westendorf, who we got on the phone this morning. Yep. Okay. Wow, we scared him off with that.
Shot a blank.
Yeah. All right. Listeners know. See, I got to get right. I want to get right to the content this week because I have a lot of questions we want to hear all about the new Ketch Harbor Pub. But we're on every morning from, not every morning, every Friday morning from 9 to 10 right here at KHB 100.9 FM, Rockton 1710 AM, and streaming live on KHMBradio.com. Okay, here's today's topics. Let me get a slurp of coffee here because I got to talk even faster, right? Okay. There it was. Slurp of coffee. Take that for your, in case you can't get a cup of coffee, just take that. Okay. Holiday party with Supervisor Ray Mueller, Ruben's Grinch Factor, and our Shooting the Breeze live interview with David Westendorf and Ketch Harbor Pub chef Eduardo Coronel. Okay. Our show this morning and every week is brought to you by Cameron's Pub and Restaurant, another eatery in town. I'm sure people have heard of Cameron's. I'm sure David and Chef Eduardo have heard of Cameron's. Question, while I'm supposed to be doing the commercial for Cameron's, other restaurants in town, do you guys see that as like, oh, that's the enemy or competitors, or you're all in kind of a club?
Well, I think we're all citizens of the coast, and we should regard one another with the respect that it's due. There's some great dining on our coast,
yeah.
Just terrific dining, Cameron's included. I get their burger. I know exactly how I like it, Newcastle on draft. Mm-hmm. And I love that they have the relish bar because I slather the relish on with the ketchup and their fries. So, yeah, we love Cameron's.
See, now I don't even have to do the commercial. I need to have David in here every week. To do the commercial for me. Okay, as he mentioned, Newcastle on tap, along with 24 other brews on tap, 60 bottled beers, delicious food, karaoke, trivia night, outdoor doggy dining patio, game room, gift shop, history. It's all there at Cameron's.
You're forgetting all the sports television. We actually took our entire team when we were in remodel mode to watch, was it a friendly football match,
yeah.
Right?
It was Mexico versus Germany.
Oh.
It was a good match.
Yeah.
Great game. We enjoyed there with the team.
Yeah. I was the sole Alemanian rooter in a team of about 15 rooting for Mexico.
That does sound fun. And not when you said your team, I was thinking, oh, your softball team. No, your restaurant team, because the reason I thought softball or some, because that's a place, it's right at Smithfield, is right at the end of that road. All kinds of little league teams and soccer teams and stuff go there because they have the games and they have the screens, and there's just, it's a fun place to go. And so we thank Cameron's and Cameron's Pub and Restaurant for sponsoring the show. Okay, air quality report, traffic, weather, sleep on it. All right, everybody does that. We're Coastal Windage. We go differently. We give you the air quality report. This is the quality of the air you're breathing right now. Let's look at the scale. 0 to 50 is incredible, and that's where the coast side usually is. 51 to 100, not as good. Over 100, I always cite, is Bakersfield. Okay, so today in El Granada, 21, which is pretty good, but we're usually in the teens or single digits, so 21 is okay. Frank, are you... He's trying... I got in front of Frank this morning. I took the fuel out of his Zippo lighter, so he's having a hard time getting a cigar lit right now. So usually he lights that up when I do the air quality report, thinks it's really funny. 23 today in Half Moon Bay, 39 in Redwood City, 18 in Santa Cruz, and in Spokane, Washington today, 27. Okay, we dropped... you were late this morning. See, where did you get a book of matches? I didn't even know they had matches anymore. Okay, well, welcome to the morning zoo that used to be Coastal Windage. All right, I dropped in on Supervisor Ray Mueller's holiday office hours at the harbor yesterday. And there were a whole cadre of luminaries, political luminaries and coastside luminaries, including State Senator Josh Becker was there, outgoing Half Moon Bay Mayor Deborah Penrose, new Half Moon Bay Mayor Joaquin Jimenez, Boys and Girls Club of the Coastside Executive Director Jill Jacobson, as well as April Vargas, Harvey Rarback, Michelle Dragony, Dr. Shruti Dakpogar, who is the director of the County Department of Emergency Management, and many other important people on the coastside. So they were all there for kind of a holiday get-together at Supervisor Mueller's coastside office, which, again, I want to give a nod to him for opening an office not only on the coastside, but in the mid-coast. It's in the harbor, which is technically in the mid-coast. I was busting his chops for that until it was pointed out that I was wrong. And so I admitted to him when he came on the show, I was wrong. You are a better man than me, mm-hmm. Supervisor Mueller. Anyways, there was two different TV stations there because Senator Becker was making a presentation of a check. It was a whole thing, and it was pretty fun, very casual. If you're interested in meeting your elected officials, I highly recommend you go to Supervisor Mueller's office hours, which I believe are every week on Thursday from 10 to 11:30. I'm pretty sure those are the hours. It's a chance to meet your elected officials like Supervisor Mueller. Have you guys ever had a chance to meet Supervisor Mueller yet?
Indeed. He came to our grand opening party.
Oh, nice. Excellent.
Sat at the captain's table.
Okay, so here on Coastal Windage, I don't give political endorsements. In fact, I don't believe in them. I believe that they are bogus. However, for me, Supervisor Ray Mueller is the real deal. He cares. This is not an endorsement. This is not like, hey, vote for him. This is, I've met the person, I've talked to the person, I've seen what he's done already. He got the, Pescadero High School didn't even have water through its pipes, I believe. Supervisor Mueller went down to the California Coastal Commission meeting, drove down there, was there for all 3 days, I believe it was all 3 days, and now has gotten that change, and so I believe Pescadero High School will have fresh water now. That's the kind of thing that makes me say he's the real deal. He cares about the coastside. Very cool that he came to your opening. I mean, that's what I mean. He's involved. He cares.
Yeah,
he's
local here. Civics. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Do either of you get involved in local governmental affairs? Attend public meetings or really get into it in any way?
They're so fun to watch. No. I'm not being facetious. Yeah, watching the Planning Commission sometimes is entertaining to just put on Zoom in the background.
So do you?
It's like Sausage Factory, right? You don't do not want to watch the sausage being made, but what comes out is pretty tasty.
Do you ever go to Harbor District meetings? Since you're
far too frequently these days. Yeah, we were on the agenda for probably five of them.
Well, it's you're in a good time to be involved with that, because let's say, let's go back like 10 or 15 years. Oh, my goodness. The Harbor Commission, the Harbor District. Wow. Talk about your sausage. It was a little messy, but it's really much better now. And so you're at a good time to be involved with Harbor Affairs. Okay, Joaquin Jimenez was elected by the city council to serve as mayor of Half Moon Bay for 2024 in the council's annual reorganization meeting on Tuesday. The Half Moon Bay Review states that he is, quote, believed to be the first Latino mayor in the city's history, which is awesome for Joaquin and the Latino community, but also just really kind of shocking that this town has been around for 150 years, and this is with a strong Latino history here, and this is the first Latino mayor. So really hats off to Joaquin. Really happy about that. And it's a new age. And so I'm glad that we have our first Latino mayor in the city. And hopefully, I spoke to Joaquin. He wants to be on the show, so hopefully we'll have him on the show in a couple weeks. Joaquin says he hopes to be an inspiration for other underrepresented people to take on positions of leadership. He is an inspiration. Underrepresented people or not, I find Joaquin to be a very inspirational person and a great leader. So really happy for him. He says his priorities are affordable housing and transparent public safety and collaboration with law enforcement. Okay. In addition to yesterday going to the holiday office hours for Supervisor Ray Mueller, I also dropped in on the salon hosted by Coastside Philosoph and guest on the show 2 weeks ago, Douglas Nelson. This was in Community Room A at the library last night. And a salon, in the Enlightenment sense, is a conversation about stuff. And so usually existential, deep issues. And so Douglas thought that it would be cool to organize a salon on the coastside, maybe an ongoing thing. And so it was quite interesting. There was a handful of people there. We had a two-hour conversation, included thoughts on the winter solstice, technology, fear. And it also included a wonderful version of Robert Frost Stopping by the Woods on a Snowy Evening, which Douglas sang while playing his acoustic guitar. Douglas is a very good musician. And it was a really nice pairing of his acoustic playing with that incredible poem. Now, per that poem, are you guys familiar with that poem?
Yeah, of course.
People know I'm not a fan of tech. For one reason, because I feel like it has made our lives more hectic and busy instead of easier and simpler. But in this poem, written in the seemingly far less hectic time of 1923, it includes these lines. The woods are lovely, dark, and deep, but I have promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep. And that is the narrator saying he wanted to stay and admire the snowy woods, but he had business to take care of and he had to move on. So even in 1923, I guess the pace of life was demanding then, or it seemed demanding then. And so it's all relative. We feel like we're busy and hectic now. This poor guy with his wagon and his horse didn't have time to stop and look at the trees because he had promises to keep. Don't we all? And Frank is reminding me of my promise to stay on time today. So, okay, here we go. 2023 Audubon Christmas bird count numbers are in, and they're down a little bit. Okay, these are from the bird counters last Saturday in a specific area from Montero to Miramar, east of side of Highway 1. Other bird counters got other areas. 68 species, 1,174 individual birds. That's down from last year, 81 species, 1,753 individual birds. Now, listeners from last week know I like to lay a lot of bets on the bird count. I mean, who doesn't, right? David, you guys play the birds, right?
Only the final four.
Okay, all right, good. Are you big online bird wagerers, though, other than the final four?
Yeah, the snowy plover is usually my team.
Nice. And so are you in a fantasy avian league? Or, no?
Of the Western Conference.
Okay, great. Well, I got just hammered. So the over-under on brown-headed cowbirds was 12. I went with the over because I'm an optimistic person. 10. So under, you should have taken the under on that. The really big money was on any sighting of great horned owls, brown creepers, merlins, or northern harriers. Not many of those. No brown creepers, no Merlins. Two Northern Harriers, though. All right. So it shows that the big money Vegas odd makers are pretty good.
No crows?
There were some crows. Okay. But here's where I really... so close. I had an 8-bird parlay. Purple finch, hairy woodpecker, dark-eyed junco, pygmy nuthatch, great blue heron, western meadowlark, and closing with the almost impossible bufflehead California thrasher double dip. No. Had all of those up until, yes, on all of those, the western meadowlark. No. No western meadowlarks and no California thrashers.
The only long shot you want to bet on, of course, is the dodo.
Really? No rim shot on that, Frank? I thought you were like, David was looking right at me when he said the dodo.
Just waiting for a rim shot.
Yeah, come on. Okay. David, you're too good. You're like one step ahead of the crew here.
The joke pace. Okay. Yeah.
Interns. Right? Please help Frank to stay ahead of the game here. All right. My coyote friend is back. There was an article in the paper this week about coyotes becoming more visible in the coming months. And we've been seeing them in El Granada lately in vacant lots and whatever at dusk and dawn. Last year, I talked on the show about I walk my dog along Alhambra around midnight every night for his late night walk. And a couple nights every week, a coyote would come from the strip, the Burnham Strip there, across Alhambra and basically walk with us, maybe about 10 feet behind. In a playful way, like downward dog, kind of like, and my old dog was older and he could care less. And so it was an interesting thing. But my dog has since passed away and we got a new one who's kind of a youngster and he's very, you know, easily agitated. And so I haven't seen the coyote in a while. Well, Monday night I was walking along and for some reason it was dark. I have a headlamp on, but something caused me to turn to the right, looking out towards the ocean. And there he was in the middle of the street, the coyote. Again, he kind of stopped and looked at us, and he did downward dog, and he stretched, and he kind of gambled a little bit. And my dog, who's a youngster, gets very agitated, as I mentioned, actually remained calm and interested. And he sat, and they just kind of looked at each other. And so we stood there for a couple minutes, I'm talking to the coyote, my dog sitting there, the coyote kind of checking us out. But eventually I saw headlights coming down Alhambra, and so I shoot him back into the Burnham Strip, hopefully, because I'm sure his den is right there. There's a little batch of willows there where Deer Creek comes down, and I'm sure that's where his den is. And I just want to say to listeners and next door people, wild animals are a natural feature of our coastal environment. They're a feature, not a bug, and as much a part of the community as any human resident. Coyotes in particular are amazing animals, smart, adaptable, and misunderstood. They're just doing what they do, something we can all relate to, I hope. And in fact, on January 5th, we're going to have Dr. Alice Granados of the Felide Conservation Fund on the show to discuss our local mountain lion population. You have a Nest Cam in your yard, David or Eduardo?
Yeah.
Do you ever see
coyotes?
Mountain lions?
Never mountain lions, no. Coyotes, yes. Have a family that lives right in front.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. I don't, like I said, I'm kind of a technology Grinch to go seasonal. So I don't have any cameras up anywhere. So I don't get to see these creatures except when I'm looking out my window at 3 a.m. brushing my teeth and I see the skunks digging on my yard. Hey, that's my lawn. I'm working on that. All right. I mean, they're actually doing me a favor.
They come and help you.
Yes, exactly. Anything that the skunks do to my lawn can only make it look better because it's lawn. Thank you. Lawn in like double air quotes. It's lawn in theory. It's an area in front of my house.
Once upon a time, it had some grass.
There's dirt. Yeah, there's soil there and other greenery. I don't know if I'd call it grass. Okay. Speaking of the holiday season and grinchiness, I don't know about you two. In fact, I know this is not, because you guys are smiling and you look like you're rested and you're just happy people. I'm struggling to get into the holiday season this year. Usually we go to San Diego to be with my family every other year, and this is the San Diego year. But radio never sleeps, so I'm totally busy, and my son's on the high school basketball team. They have games before and after Christmas. And if you're not there, then you drop down in the depth chart. And he's done a lot of hard work, and we don't want him to miss out on that. So we're only going to San Diego for like 2.5 days, which, you know, when you only see your family for like once a year, that's just not enough time. I hate flying. And my guys, 2.5 days, going to spend a full day of that in the airport or driving to the airport or going through security or sitting at the gate. So it just, I'm kind of grumpy about that. Up until Wednesday, we didn't even have a tree yet. And that's my favorite part of the holiday season. I love a tree in the living room with the lights on. And I love, we get a new ornament every week. My wife and I have been together over 30 years. Every year we get a new ornament. So now our tree has like 30 years of memories on it, which is pretty cool. That's
a lovely tradition.
Do you guys get a tree?
Yeah, we do.
A real tree or an artificial tree?
Artificial.
Every year. Got a real one.
Thank you, Chef Eduardo. Why artificial, David?
We have about 4 up. Each room has one.
Oh, my God.
It becomes economically unviable, and it kills the vacuum cleaners all day.
That way it's better.
So, yeah, now Michelle pops them out of the closet, and boom, 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 and it's 'tis the season.
Okay.
Just add water again.
Yeah, if you've got four trees in the house, I could see that. Okay. I do, one of the things I like about a tree in the house is not only, I love it when all the lights are off, but just the tree lights are on. It kind of gives a glow to the room. But I love the pine smell in the house, especially when you have pets. Yep. Like having that pine smell is a nice change. Let's see, my wife decorates the tree, and she actually rallied and put lights out up front. We got rid of our Halloween decorations. We have very few Christmas or holiday decorations anymore because my son is now an older teenager. So the whole, like, kids thing, I guess we're going to have to wait hopefully 15 or 20 years till the grandkids come along. My wife also rallied and made a Shutterfly holiday card to send out, which I appreciate that we're still in the game, but you guys are old enough. You remember in the day you'd actually write a holiday card out and write a message in there. And it was a way to connect with, before social media, it was a way to connect with people that maybe you didn't, you know, that from your past or even your present that you don't get to see that often. Hey, catching up, here's what we're doing. Now everybody just does a card and maybe they sign it. Maybe it's already printed on there straight from Shutterfly or whatever. In the age of social media, do we still need the holiday card? What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think that's a tradition, as part of the holiday season.
Like the tree or the lights, the holiday card. Okay, I do enjoy it because we take all the holiday cards that we get and we put them up, you know, on the wall, and they're there for a couple months after Christmas. But I like seeing pictures of all of our friends and their families and seeing their kids grow up, and sometimes there's a, you know, a recount of their year on the back, which kind of ends up being like social media because nobody's ever like, oh, yeah, and our car broke down and I broke my leg. And it's like, oh, yeah, we went to the Bahamas and, you know, Jimmy got a new job and, you know, Josie's off to college. And so it's kind of like the highlights, right? Which I guess that's what it should be.
My mom turned the annual holiday card into social media. It's a grid pattern, and she has about 75 photos. And all of the kids and grandkids always scramble with, you got more likes than I did.
Right.
17 pictures this year.
That's funny you say that, because my wife, when she does hers, there's one of her, right, pick one of her, one of me, one of the three of us together, one of her with our son, one of me with our son, one of each pet. So, yeah, like everybody's got to be represented in a fair, course, equitable manner, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Not that we're counting, but we are.
All right. Don't even get me started on the whole gifts thing. David, Chef Eduardo, it's the 22nd of December.
Good question. Where are you going to
have? Your holiday shopping?
I'm not done with last year's Christmas shopping yet.
How about you, Chef?
I'm either.
Exactly. I mean,
and I haven't started shopping for him yet, too.
So. I mean, now with the restaurant business that we are into, we've been spending 14, 16 hours daily. And like you say, like you guys are smiling. Yeah, it's how we are. Like even after 14, 16 hours, we're still smiling. We love to be in the restaurant business, and it's lovely. I'm here to know more about locals. See what they traditionally do, trying to make them happy. I'm not promise anything, but I will do our best to make it them where they wanted to be and be happy there and join us. We don't have the Christmas gift yet because we don't have the much time right now. We focus on one of the priorities to get the restaurant going. Mm-hmm. We will have time later on to get a better Christmas. for sure.
Hey, you're preaching to the choir here, Chef Eduardo. Again, like, you're kind of giving gifts to people every day with your food, so I appreciate that. You know, there was an article in the paper about minimum wage is up to $20 an hour, and there was some articles, some posts on Nextdoor. Per the catch, you know, some people grumbling about the cost of a burger. I will say that there was many, many responses to that pointing out that, like, that's, hey, if you're going to go out to eat, that's kind of the bargain that you make, right? I mean, people, I can do it cheaper at home. Well, then do it at home. Like, you're going out to eat. That's a premium that, you know, somebody's bringing you your food. So, and an incredible chef is cooking it for you. The place that you're going is an amazing, you know, decor and ambiance. Yeah, that otherwise it's your kitchen table. Like, that's why you go out to eat, is for something special. And so there's a price that goes on that. But I get annoyed with people complaining about $20 minimum wage or a $12 burger when one baseball player who is currently injured just got a contract for $700 million. And nobody has a problem with that. Nobody bats an eye at paying, you know, $300 or more to take their family to a baseball game and then throw down $30 for a charburger and, you know, $14 for a beer at the, nobody has a problem with that, but we're going to complain about, you know, maybe a dollar more than it was 15 years ago to go eat out at a restaurant here on the coast side. That bothers me. Okay. How did I get off on this when we were talking about Christmas? Frank, hit that intern that's falling asleep. That's that person's job to keep me, okay, on focus here. Here's technology. So my family, like, we have this gift exchange where, like, you draw a name out of a hat so that you don't have to buy a present for everybody. You just, like, whoever you... So, okay, that makes sense to me. I'm fine with that. But now, this year... Everybody wants to put their gift list, which is another thing that annoys me. I'm not here to, like, fill out your garage and your tool shed with everything you need. Like, this isn't like, hey, everything that's missing in my life, people give to me for Christmas. It's like a one thing. Anyways, everybody wants their gift list on some app, online app now. So you got to, like, sign up for the app. And, like, and I don't do apps, and I don't do anything that requires a sign up. And so I've been kind of the fly in the ointment this year. Like, I'm not doing it. I'm not putting my... Just forget, then just get me coal or whatever. Like, I'm not doing it. Everybody else still did it, though. And so I'm just annoyed at that. The whole gift-giving part of the holidays stresses me out because I want to do something nice, but I like to give a gift when I see something. Hey, that would be perfect for David Westendorf. A moleskin notebook would be perfect for him.
Happy to have been thought of.
And I see that, and I go, this, oh, look, and it has an imprint of a whale on it. I'll get that for David. That'd be perfect. And then whatever, it's June. I'll get that for him, give it to David. I feel good. But now here comes December coming along, and I'm obligated to go to some store and find something just to be able to say, like, here is your December gift. Like that, I guess, just being put in the box like that, that's what bothers me. Also, the commercialization of sentiment. If you really care about the person, if you really know what they like, and you see something, get it for them and give it to them, whatever day of the year it is. But I don't like to have to do it.
Here's a funny little tidbit. So that moleskin that you pass along to me, which is a lovely gift outside the context of the giving season, it inspired me to get one for my other partner, Marcos, who's going to get it for Christmas. So we took your non-Christmas sentiment and turned it into a commercial one.
But to me, like, if you see something that you know somebody would like and that's perfect for the person, whether it's at the holiday season or not, yeah, that to me, that is the true... essence of gift giving, right?
Your gift to me inspired me to give another gift of similar likeness within 5 seconds.
Yeah, that kind of thing, as opposed to, like, hey, December 25th is coming up.
Deadline.
I gotta have something. Let me go to Amazon and, like, you know, whatever's on this person's gift list on this app that I have to go and look up.
It becomes a gift registry.
Yes, right. Are we getting married here? No, it's just a holiday thing.
That is exactly right. I was sorry to say, but it's one of the things that I always tell my wife. Like, we don't have to wait for Valentine's. Valentine's can be every day. You just got to be on the moment, and whatever you like that you think the other person will like, is get it for. And that is the real, like you say, the real gift and the time where it's going to be. You don't have to wait for Christmas.
Chef Eduardo, I had the interns combing the internet, researching, you know, looking at, and they brought me all these articles about you. And I'm like, all right, come on. This is too good to be true. This guy seems too great, so nice, so talented. It's stop. Okay, this is just all just social media, you know, made up stuff. And yet here you are, and it's real. Like, wow. I mean, what a great person to have in your organization, a partner as well.
He's truly a brilliant partner. He's fun in the kitchen. He's fun with his kitchen staff. He's fun at the restaurant level, and he's fun at the business level.
I mean, this is what I'm saying. Like, I didn't work in the restaurant business. I worked at Taco Bell, which there was nominally
loosely
food
affiliated.
Involved. It was nominally food involved.
Yeah.
But even at that thing. Yeah. Yeah. Behind, you know, in the back, right? The, again, serious air quotes, kitchen area. It was stressful. It was hot. People were banging into each other. Stuff got dropped. Stuff's late coming out. Like, people are, it's a high stress environment, and having a person with the personality of Chef Eduardo to have that ability to, like, take some of that stress out of there, to be caring about people and about the product, and to not let it, you know, not become Gordon Ramsay where you're screaming at people. Like, I mean, that just, like, that has got to translate to just a really positive feeling in the whole restaurant.
As I said before, he's a great lead for a number of reasons, but the tranquility with which, and the calmness with which, it just sets a tone and a tenor for the rest of the people who just march about their ways with more of a, you know, a sense of purpose as opposed to a frantic. And yes, restaurants can be extraordinarily confusing. The stress that you feel, though, at the end of the day is very manageable stress, because you're just getting a plate to a table into somebody's tummy. It's not like you're reinventing science or you know, exploring the outer limits of physics. And so the stress levels that we experience, we actually laugh at each other because it's fun. The restaurant business is really, really enjoyable to be in.
Well, you say it's not physics or rocket science. I've had other people on the show that are chefs or involved with food, and I say to them, it's like a foreign language to me. Like, it's magic. I don't know how it's done. I don't know how it's even possible to make something, say, make some of the meals that Chef makes. So to me, it is reinvented. I don't know how it's done. It's magic. It just, wow. And that's one of the reasons why I like to go out and eat. And to those who say I could do it as well at home, then fine. I can't. And I'm appreciative that there's great food on this coast side and back at the catch for me to go enjoy. And I'm going to enjoy it. Okay, Frank is giving me the, like, the whirly bird here. Oh, let's see. Oh, if I'm done with my ranting about the... Oh. All right, one last thing. Frank is giving me the, like, serious don't do it, but I'm going to do it because that's what I do here. Recently, I went to New York City. Yeah, we break stuff around here. That's right. Rules?
I just dropped a glass of water here.
Oh, chef, yes. You don't have to clean that up. No, those people.
I'm trying to get something here for you guys.
Oh,
we brought some. I mean, one of the amazing stuff that we've been doing lately in breakfast. I brought one lunch item so you can try. You can see one of this is our famous crab sandwich. It's been one of the best popular sales right now, and we have a lot of good comments. For breakfast, I brought the prime rib Benedict. I mean, where are you going to be eating prime rib Benedict?
I know. The new Ketch Harbor Pub.
Absolutely.
Let me take a picture of this because, oh, my.
We have a little bit for everybody. I brought actually Nutella crepe for kids. So we have a Nutella crepe on the menu for the kids. So you just got to ask for your server. We have a kids menu, and we'll talk more a little bit about how I come up with the names on the kids menu.
Let me get an intern over here to get my bib on. Wow. And wipe my drool. And here's how smart I am, David. When Chef brought out the food, I turned the mic over to, like, so people could see the food. Yeah, see the food? There we go. Okay.
Turn the lips neck
away. Nice, Ruben. Okay, so let's... So we get emails here. I saw the interns digging through the mailbag. I asked them to see if they had anything, any emails about the catch, because we talked about it a couple weeks ago. Yes, I'm eating some of the food right now. So we do have an email from Clam Balls, the new catch. Is that a new dish?
Is that a last name?
It does look, yeah, B-A-L-L-Z. Is that a new dish that you're serving, clam balls?
Clam balls, it's
an
Asian delicacy.
Yeah, there we go.
Very hard to find in the open market.
Clam Balls writes, I was pretty sad when it was announced that Catch Joanne was headed to Davy Jones's locker. And I don't think that ambience can be, some variation of the word ambience, can be recreated because it reflected a moment in time and the people who made that moment. But Ruben, oh, that's me, makes the new catch establishment sound pretty good, so maybe there's hope. Do they still have the old potbelly stove? What say you, David? Do you still have the stove?
We do not have the old potbelly stove. That went with the Catch Joanne family. Oh. Joanne still has that in her possession.
Oh, that's cool.
But to that writer's question, we felt that a deep amount of respect for the physical as well as the traditional elements of what Joanne had prepared. And as soon as we got done with the refrigeration and the plumbing and the electrical and the infrastructure, we felt that bringing back the familiar previous Catch Joanne was in everybody's best interest, both on a forward-looking basis and to the local traditional people that had been eating there for the last 50 years. So we took down every single piece of wood from the wall, from the floor, the old Harbor Bar, dismantled everything, disinfected it, stained it, and brought it back into the modern age, and hopefully want to reset the restaurant for the next 50 years.
So when people walk in there, and they walk in, those floorboards are the same floorboards that people have been walking on since 1975 or 87 or whenever those floorboards were put in. Those are the floorboards.
The exact floorboards.
Okay. See, this is what I personally, and I'm thankful for the tour that you gave me a couple weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
appreciate about the way that you've approached this is, it's not, you're not just redoing Catch Joanne. You're doing the new Catch Harbor Pub with elements of the old, but refreshing to the new. You can say it better than me. I'm going to skip these other emails. Yeah, thank you, interns, for finding one about the catch. I'm sure there were others. Let's get right to it. Okay. Listeners, this is the formal part of the interview of the episode. We're here with one of the founders of Pelagic Restaurant Group and owner of Jetty Wave Distillery and the new Catch Harbor Pub, David Westendorf. We're also here with the head chef, award-winning, multiple award-winning chef, Eduardo Coronel. And we want to talk to them about what's going on with the new Catch Harbor Pub. So, David, Pelagic is like a parent company that has multiple restaurants?
Yeah. Pelagic Hospitality Group is a coastside group. It has a group of owners that are almost all coastside dwelling outdoor enthusiasts who have got together behind a common cause of wanting to bring some passion to the hospitality opportunities here on the coast. So we started off with the Catch Harbor Pub that you've mentioned. We're going to move on with a continuation of that, which is going to be called Pelagic Harbor Grill. It will be more of a finer dining experience than Catch, more of a traditional dining experience. And we're going to push a new type of cuisine called World Beach Fusion.
Talk to us about that.
We've both traveled and had the fortune of seeing some wonderful beach communities around the world and try to find people that are similar to or different from Half Moon Bay. And notice that there's a lot of common ground upon which the citizens of the beach all stand. We have the same, you know, concerns for the environment. We see the erosion happening, you know, at face value every single day. We thought that having a bond of different recipes from those communities that can create new visibility to. And so as we design the menu, we're going to be talking about these areas that we're honing in on. So you might have a lamb from Goa, India, and a preparation with some rosemary and sage from Dubrovnik, Croatia. And that might be something new on the dish. So Pelagic has both Ketch Harbor Pub, Pelagic Harbor Grill, and then the Princeton Seafood Market that was a fixture in the end, selling whole and prepared fish. We'll continue that tradition and elevate that to be a feature point for the sort of the more prominent boats of the harbor. Will have their own shelf. Whatever they catch is going to be available for sale that day. So we want to create a real speedy open marketplace. Try to bring more citizens in from over the hill. Hopefully more revenue from in over the hill to populate the harbor with more of a direct-to-consumer type of model.
Yeah, I really liked you showed me where you were going to have these shelves that would have the boat name on them. And so you could, you know, maybe if you, I think there's an app where you can see what boats have what in the harbor. And so then you could go to the fish market and say, I'm looking for, you know, from the Marianne or whatever, they are supposed to have some, you know, sea bass or something, whatever.
Yeah,
some snapper or something. I don't even know what's around here. Crab. Okay. And they could find
yeah,
from
we
the
have
specific
crab here.
Boat. There's crab
just,
here?
Just want to clarify that.
What? Yeah, I've lived here for 25 years. I never knew that. Okay.
I think it's only been available in 20. No.
Yeah, right.
Two of those.
The
20.
New thing they're introducing here. Yeah. Okay. And are you a career restaurateur?
I am not a career restaurateur. I'm the exact opposite. I came from a technology world that you loathe.
Good choice.
Left
nice
it,
change.
Left it for many of the reasons that caused you to loathe it. Yeah, I worked at, I was president of a Motorola division, was VP of product management at Google, and just felt increasingly that the way that the world of technology was going relative to the way that I loved living here on the coast was taking me away from the coast, living in places around the world, Hong Kong and Barcelona and whatnot. I just felt like I wanted to get home. And we started Jetty Wave Distillery 4 years ago as sort of retirement, maybe someday. Let's get to it in 10 years and have a little hobby project. And it took off a lot faster than we ever expected. And so the three families, the Gillies and the Slys and the Westendorfs, all pitched in and have grown it to where it is right now. And we're basically selling everything that we're distilling. We've won about 45 awards. And I think most people that stop by just have that soothing feel of, wow, this is a great experience. We have 4.8 out of 5 stars on Yelp and Google reviews and Facebook reviews. And that gave us the grounding for, do I want to do another tech startup in the, you know, machine learning, brainwave AI space? Or do I want to do something that's more community-based? And it became obvious to me. And then conversations with Chef Eduardo Colonel to my left about, what could we do to bolster the community? What could we do to bring notoriety to the community and what the community stands for? So we see the Ketch Joanne opportunity to put Pelagic Hospitality Group's stamp of a modern take on coastal cuisine.
Yeah, I like that, a modern take on coastal cuisine. I mean, Jetty Wave, I don't know, am I exaggerating by saying it's hugely popular? Everybody... I'm constantly, people are like, oh, I'm going to Jetty Wave. It's so, because it's a fun atmosphere. That's what I hear from people when they're talking about that. There's a smile on their face. Like, we're going there for drinks or for something to eat, and unsaid, but obvious in their expression and their tone of voice is because it's fun, because it's a fun place to go and hang out. And that seems pretty obvious. And I imagine, that is an infectious feeling, and you know Jetty Wave was successful, and now you're like, I want to
capture
I wanna
do something it and perpetuate different, but that more. Fun.
So, you've been getting some good publicity locally lately. There's an article in the Review a couple weeks ago. Coastside Buzz has a really excellent interview with you up on there. You're here on this massive stage right now. Chef Cordell, well, first of all, how did you guys meet? How did you get be lucky enough to come across Chef Cordell?
Fortunate, that's an understatement. Third-party founder in our group, Marcos Ruiz, is a gentleman that's been on the coast. Most citizens of Pasta Moon and It's Italia and Sam's have run into Marcos's smile at some point in time. And he's just one of those perennial standbys that's always there. Let me get you a table. Let me cut you to the front of the line. And for the past 10 years, he and I have said, wink, wink, we're going to start a restaurant together, right? Right. And when Jetty Wave came, it became a lot more serious. And I invited Marcos over and I said, if we ever do something, this is what we'd like to do in the same spirit as this. And Marcos, having that smile and that infectious personality, has a gigantic network of friends. And so when he first started authoring the management team, we both knew that we needed a chef, and not just a cook, but somebody who could really come in and be an extraordinary influence on the vision and in the kitchen thereafter.
Yeah, well, because as a restaurant, I have a very limited world scope, so most things devolve down to sports analogies for me, mm-hmm. or metaphors. It feels like for a restaurant, you got to have that star quarterback as your chef. Like, leadership comes from the top down, whether it's the management or the bit, you know, in the kitchen. And so if you want your restaurant to be, you know, championship quality, you got to have, you know, a first round draft picks, but those are hard to come by. So Marcos helped you find Chef Cornell?
There were some other players traded in the formation of that.
Several first-round draft
choices. To be named later.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. No, the whatever sacrifice we had to make to get him has been more than paid off in spades already. Yeah, to have the figurehead of the company who has such a positive energy, and the entire team, whether they're kitchen prep in the back or, you know, hostess in the very front, they just look to him with a sense of inspiration when he talks. And part of our philosophy is, we want to improve ourselves. We want to improve our menu. We want to improve our offering. And to the younger folks that work for us, we want them to improve their lives, and they want to come to us as an opportunity to do that. And Chef is the perfect leader to drive that improvement.
So, Chef, you are, we mentioned you're an award-winning chef. You won the American Treasure Chef competition. And
how do you know that?
See these people behind you right here?
The intern's asleep now because she worked all night.
Yes, I have them working. I said, I need to know more about Chef Eduardo. Could you go find me some information? I like to have stuff printed out. So these stacks of paper over here. Chef, how many articles have been written about you in Carmel and Monterey and down there? Like, oh my gosh. Like, I didn't have time to read it all, but what I sussed out of there, so I had them highlight for me. That you won the American Treasure Chef competition, and you won the most creative dish at the Big Sur Forage Festival. I couldn't get past the American Treasure Chef competition because these words are still hanging on my tongue right now. Horseradish crusted red trout with trout skin chicharron. How do you even come up with a dish like that? Like,
good question. I don't even know how I come up with this.
You're that
so
good.
It's like one thing, like, you need to love what you do in order so you can be not stressful, be happy all the time. I mean, it's what it is. Like, you just need to have the passion for it. And it's what I do. It's what I love to do. One of my dreams was, like, be part of the ownership in one restaurant, and here we are. It was a dream.
Hold. I feel like you're selling yourself short, because in looking at your history, right, if the media reports are to be believed, because what a amazing journey. Starting off as a dishwasher in Waxaca, that was where you're from?
Well, 23 years ago, I started as a dishwasher in Carmel, one of the popular restaurants in Carmel. then
started
I
started as a dishwasher.
Yes.
Like no cooking experience?
No cook. I started cooking when I was 7, 8 years old with my mom's kitchen, making some fresh tortillas, making some mole, a little bit of soups and things like basic stuff that we can start learning when you're a kid.
Yep.
And that's when I discovered that I have the passion to be a cooking and have the passion to be chef in the future. So when I came to the United States, my first job was a dishwasher with zero English. My English is getting a little bit better, but I still not 100% to speak. I'm trying to do my best every day, learn a word.
It's better than mine, so.
Well, thank you. But I worked as a dishwasher for 2 years, and early you were talking about chefs being in the kitchen, like, stressful, throwing things around and yell at you and things like that. I'm not like that because why? Because I grew up like that in the kitchen, and I don't want the same environment for my employees. Mm. So I want to make sure that I treat them well, teach them well, so they know what they do. They can be successful like me. So I was a dishwasher, no English at all. The chef who was my chef at that time, I don't even know what he was telling me. I was telling David before, like, sometimes I was laughing because I don't even know he was telling me good or bad things. Uh-huh. Then I was like, my head was always be a chef, be somebody, be more, and I was hungry for it. So I take some English classes and computer classes for 2 years in Monterey. Then I start from there. Then I start getting a job for a busser. So it's what I learned more about the industry to be a service on the restaurant business. And we just move up. Every 2 years was something different. Like busser, from dishwasher as a busser. Then I go back to the pantry, then a line cook, then a soup chef. I was soup chef for 10 years. Then executive chef for 5 years. Then I left for a little bit over a year because we own a different company, as a different business in Monterey, and I have to be focused on our business with my wife, Marta. So now it's a different journey, and this is what I was looking for. So I'm 100% here in Half Moon Bay. I'm starting learning the community, and I'm really appreciate that they come to us and say, this is what we would like to see on the menu. How can we make this happen? I'm not promise anything, but I will do my best to make our customers happy here on the coast.
Wow. I mean, without even having any of the food, like, can I just say I love you? That's a great story.
Oh, God.
You know, like, really having, I'm a big person about leadership in an organization, on a team or whatever, and that the team, the organization, it follows the personality, the direction of the leader. And if you have a leader who's compassionate and focused and creative and positive, that will be reflected in the organization. And from my experience that I've already had at the new Ketch Harbor Pub, talking with David, now talking with you, it does translate directly to the customer experience. Like you, when you go in there as a customer, I believe you will feel the positive energy coming, in addition to the wonderful smells, the positive energy mm-hmm. coming out of the kitchen. Okay, so we talked about the type of menu that it will have. So is this a completely new menu, or will there be some, homage to the past menu? Are you completely refreshing?
The menu that you're holding in your hands is a reflection of the community's preferences. When we first opened the door, and after we got the key, people started knocking immediately. When are you going to open? Is it going to open?
Yes.
Et cetera, et cetera. Right. Which became not just a source of inspiration, but it informed our decisions. So we would bring people in, give them a little tour, and ask them about things that they wanted to keep from before. So you'll see old signs that we've decided to preserve.
Yes, and I love that.
And people started to ask, well, what about the Crab Benedict, or what about this plate? And so we wanted to quantify that. And so we put up on our website for 3 months before we opened, and we got about 425 responses from people saying this was the dish that I most adored. And we tabulated those, and those literally became the base of the menu that you hold. And so we have about 40% of our menu is what it was. We have the recipes. We've been trained by Joanne and Albert and Heidi. And our staff had sort of a reunion and a passing of the baton with their kitchen staff. And so you'll find a lot of the comfortable favorites that you wished were there. And we've preserved those. But knowing chef is you're beginning to. You can't leave well enough alone. So we're just refreshing the ingredients and some of the vendor selections and the, you know, meat suppliers and whatnot. We're just trying to trade that up such that there's a little bit more organic, a little bit more farm to market, a little bit closer to home. And that does come at a price. There is a premium that's associated. Inflation has gone up. But if you look at the prices that Joanne was charging a year ago, and even in the face of that inflation, we're almost exactly where they were, in some cases less than what they were by a buck or two.
Agreed. Having been to that restaurant many times and looking at the menus that I do hold in my hand right now, Chef Cornell pointed out to me and you pointed out to me. So we've got the breakfast menu with many different dishes on there. Starters, Benedicts, egg plates, omelets. We've got the lunch menu, right, with the chowder, salads, sandwiches, and daily plates, you know, these kind. The drink menu, always important. And then the Catch Kid Pub menu, which I love. Let me just read some of the options that the kids have to choose from. For breakfast, we have, do I have to go to school? I don't want to wake up, and that's not fair. For lunch, we've got, I'm not hungry. I want McDonald's, wasn't me, and I hate vegetables. And for dessert, we have, can we go now? I mean, that's just kind of the fun part, right? Where you can be creative, you can have fun. These are all things that every single kid that's ever gone to a restaurant has said at least one time, mm-hmm. right? So
we just put a little microphone and listened to kids as they were bellyaching to their parents, which is now inspiring us to look at the adult menus with a little bit more of a, maybe we should record adults and have he said, she said as part of the menu.
Okay, I love it. I love it. Okay. I'm pretty sure Frank was trying to tell me there was 5 minutes left, but he was kind of like hypnotizing, yeah. Like, you will get back to the interview.
Follow my orders.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Okay, so we talked about this idea that if you're, let's just say you're a musician, there's lots of great songs there. Maybe you want to do a cover of a song, but you don't want to do it exactly the same as the original song because, one, that's already been done, and two, like, you're your own artist and you want to add your flavor to, if I can use a restaurant term, to the song. And I feel like that's kind of analogous to what's going on here that you mentioned, of like you have connected with the past ownership. Again, the haters gonna hate on next door, like you didn't force them out, you didn't like. No, you respect and honor the tradition of Catch Joanne, and you're carrying that forward, but with your twist on the song, right? So can you tell us some way? You mentioned a couple things. What are some non-food items? Like, let's talk decor and ambiance, because I personally have no personal style, but I love looking at other people's style. Mm-hmm. I love the style and the ambiance of the restaurant, whether it's the indoor metal siding, whether it's the signage that is not only functional as an advertising and marketing element, but it's amazing artwork that adds to the whole thing. The color palette that's chosen, the tile backlay of the bar, these kinds of touches are just magic, I think. So can you tell us some things that were held over from the old Catch? You mentioned the floorboards, mm-hmm. And some things that you've added that are new.
Sure.
Maybe I already gave it away.
One of the most passionate discussions was about the Harbor Bar itself. And so it became clear to us, you cannot touch the Harbor Bar. Unfortunately, we need to accommodate disabled patrons, and so we had to cut a big section of the bar, and so there's a lot of rumor that you're going to take away the Harbor Bar. Well, no, we didn't. We preserved it, and we modernized it at the same time, which is a great analogy for what we've done with the restaurant. We preserved it, but we've also brought it into compliance, so the refrigeration actually works. And so the things that we want to do different are to have food that stays cold and fresh and is clean. We want to have an experience, because we live in the outdoors right at the cusp of the ocean, an indoor-outdoor experience. And so you'll walk in and see the old comfortable catch from before, but on the outside is beautiful, modern. We have 27 fireplace tables. And so we have an indoor-outdoor experience that's covered. It will be covered. It's going to be protected from the elements. And that'll extend the, you know, the patron's ability to interact with this beautiful Mother Nature dwelling that we have right on the waterfront in the harbor.
You kept the captain's table.
We did keep the captain's table. Boy, with all of the divorces and marriages and contract negotiations and settlements and arm wrestling that had been conducted there, we had to keep that. We took a slab from the side of Mount Monterra and poured some concrete ourselves that goes straight into the foundation and said, this is not changing for another 50 years. You can dance on it all you want.
You've got people are like, but what about all the pictures of the boats? Those are still there. I saw you have those around.
We turned them into a wallpaper.
Right.
So we took them out of their frames. The frames were from, you know, IKEA in 1971. So to say that they're brittle and fell apart was an understatement. But we recycled and repurposed all the Kodak paper from the 70s. And it looks like old Instagram filters have been placed on them. And just slathering them all over the wall and saying, we have about, 200 photos of boats in place.
Yeah, and
everyone has a story.
In their place on that wall now is a piece of art. Well, it's painted. Is it painted on? It's an applique. So it's
like
an image
a shellacking
of a boat.
Over. Oh, that's the. Yeah, I mean, being in the harbor, there are certain boats that have been very important to us, and the boats that have been out at Mavericks and the Hullycat. Tom Matouche has been an old friend and as an old Maverick surfer. So we wanted to capture that whale watching and surf part of the harbor business as well. So that's why his boat's up there.
Okay, the really critical question. We there's a bunch of food here. Let me just do what Ruben always does, which is just kind of like put his thumb in it. Before we get to the beautiful food, everybody that's ever been to the Old Catch wants to know, with the upgrades and the, how about them bathrooms? Are they better now?
You can flush.
Can I go in there with my child and actually both of us fit in there? Are they wheelchair accessible? I mean, are they handicap accessible?
Yeah, so for the record, of course, we had to accommodate that. It's been a long story. There have been a lot of rumors that have been swirling, but it has passed inspection. The harbor district has been wonderful to work with, and we bring all of our ramps and pressures and heights and whatnot into compliance so that the handicapped and disabled community can access us, just like the rest of the Coastside patrons.
Yeah, I mean, that was, if there was one buzzkill about the Old Catch, it was the bathroom. So thank you for doing that. Okay. Frank, give me the 1 minute. Chef, you've got some boxes of food here. What are we looking at?
So here we got the famous crab sandwich with the jack cheese and a thousand islands inside the crab.
So that was one of the most popular, I think it was second place for the most requested from the previous menu.
We got one of the new items from breakfast is the prime rib benedict with the house potatoes. Prime rib we normally cure for 24 hours, then we roast it for 6 hours. So it's like a nice piece of meat, flavorful, and like, yeah, you can.
I need a daub. Usually I need a daub on this bald forehead, but now I need a chin daub, please. Thank you.
And here's our tradition from our family on the weekends. Normally I make breakfast for them. I got two kids.
Wait. You work 14 to 16 hours a day, probably 7 days a week at the restaurant, and then you cook for your family at home.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Most of the Sundays we do family breakfast, and I made a stuffed cream cheese French toast with the peaches on top, raspberries, and we have a little more created in this side. We got to use Jetty Way bourbon. We made it. We actually turned it to a syrup.
Oh, wow.
So we're using Jetty Way bourbon and made it as a syrup to throw on top of this French toast.
Wow. That not only creative, but great marketing crossover there, right?
Keep it local.
That's fantastic. Wow.
Another favorite for my kids that I made a Nutella crepe. And it is on the menu as you the names that we put it on the menu is kind of the words that we always have as a parents. Like, we ask the kids, what are you going to eat? I don't know. Where do you want to go eat? I don't know. What do you want? You want vegetables? I hate vegetables. So those are the things that...
But they glow when Nutella is put on the menu.
I mean, if I... My five-year-old, if I'd said, son, we're getting you the crepe, he wouldn't even know what that is, but he'd be like, I don't want... But if I said, son, look, we're getting you the I'm not hungry. Are you good for that? Or the, like, I want McDonald's. He'd probably be like, oh, okay. So it has McDonald's in it, I'll take. And eat it, because it was just like looking at the menu. Crepe, I don't know. What is that? Son, you'll love it. Trust me. All right. Well, Frank is about to cut me off. So... I wanted to talk a little bit more about the fish market, because I love your idea for that. You mentioned you were going to kind of freshen up. As the first, you were saying to me, and when we talked a couple weeks ago, it's the first thing people see when they get into the harbor. And you had ideas for like an awning, mm-hmm. and, you know, just a really nice presentation there at the front, in addition to the shelves for the different boats.
Yeah.
You've got the bar is still there. We've got the Ketch Harbor Pub. All right. Okay. All right,
that was the final news titan from Frank.
I know, that was.
Like, body language okay. is very clear.
All right, December 29th, next week, we've got filmmakers Michelle Hall and Howard Hall, whose film Soul of the Ocean will be featured at the second annual Beach Break Film Festival. Are you a sponsor of the Beach Break Film
Jenny
Festival?
Jenny Wave is a sponsor. We will be nice. On reel for 15 seconds before each of these films.
Thank you. It's a great thing.
Yes.
This December 28th, 29th, 30th, January 5th. Dr. Alice Granados, a wildlife ecologist from the Filo Day Conservation Fund, will join us to discuss our local catamounts. And January 12th, we're hoping to have Joaquin Jimenez in here. All right, everybody, thank you for listening. David Westendorf, Chef Eduardo Cornell, thank you so much for giving us an hour of your very valuable time today, bringing some excellent stuff to show us and indulging
Ruben,
our questions.
We hope you and Frank eat well. We didn't bring enough for the interns, unfortunately, so they can go through the rest of the whipped cream and then.
As they know, they're on their own. Okay. All right, and now I'm on my own because Frank is cutting me off. Could talk to you guys for a couple more hours. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you,
listeners,
Ruben.
Thank you for listening. Join us next week for another great episode of Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast.